And so when people are ready for this, then the science of yoga has a lot to offer. The science of yoga can help one to accelerate the integration of all of these different fragments of the mind and to find that inner light and love so that you're not looking for it in all the wrong places and you find it within yourself, because otherwise the ego remains lonely, it remains empty, it remains needy. And it's trying to get its needs met from other people, and you're always going to be let down. You're always going to be devastated at the end if you create a relationship for that reason. First, you have to find it within. Just as in the religious sense, it is said, find the kingdom of heaven first, and all will be added unto you. Well, the kingdom of heaven is within us. It is that real self, the source, that is at peace, that is centered, that is beyond desire and beyond fear. It's the part of you that has never been touched by all the conditionings, by all the traumas that you may have suffered, and has not been enmeshed in the web of language. There is a part that has always remained beyond. And if you can touch into that margin of the self that has remained pure, no matter what has happened to you, there's a part of you that has never been defiled, okay, by experience and by people not recognizing you and saying awful things to you and all of that. If you can get to that part that never believed any of that and recognize and still eternally recognizes its own true nature as being that of love, then you have the power to heal this egoic mass. Even no matter how negative and how confused and how misbegotten it may feel, none of those negative ideas, low self-esteem or sense of lostness will affect you. You just have to touch that essence. And if you touch it long enough and really sit with it long enough, it will dissolve all the other. It will unbind the psychic energy that has been bound up in the belief systems, even the negative personal belief systems of, oh, I don't deserve this, and I have no right to be happy because I did something bad when I was 3, or whatever it is you're holding on to. That's nonsense, fantasy. And once you recognize that, you will free yourself of whatever traps you've been holding on to, either about yourself or someone else. You may be holding a grudge against somebody else since you were 3. And usually it is the mother that you're holding the grudge against. But we know that these things, once they are held and repressed because we feel guilty because we have those feelings, you can't reach them again. And they remain active, but you don't know it. And so your life is controlled by decisions that were made a long time ago. But you can't unmake them because they got frozen in time. And by bringing them to the surface and looking at them again with new eyes and saying, oh, you know what, I'm going to change that decision. I no longer believe that. You have the free will, the power to release yourself from whatever judgments you have made or judgments other people made about you that you believed. Maybe because you were a child and they were parents and they had authority in your eyes and so therefore it must be true. Whatever it is that had frozen a part of your consciousness in a certain form and with negative judgments can be released easily. You have the power to do it. Everyone has that power. And a community like this is simply has the job of supporting you in the doing of that, in the releasing of negative self-images and of limitations that you have bought into about your own potential for growth and for the achievement of, as you said, truth and beauty and the ability to function as a healer for the world, which is in desperate need of healers. So if you're open to that possibility, then this is a path that will help you to do that. And you won't owe anybody anything in terms of the path. It's not because some guru touched you with a magic wand. That's not how this functions. It's because you had the courage to go inside and do the work to free yourself. Okay? That's really important that you recognize this is work you're doing for yourself if you want to do it. And it will change your life. And then you won't owe anybody anything for that achievement. Okay? We're all here doing that same work for ourselves. And so we're supporting others in doing it because we know the benefit. The prize is wonderful. It's freedom, and it's love, it's joy, it's a sense of fulfillment. It's a realization of what's really going on the planet right now, and recognizing that it's a blessing and not a curse, so that you can live in peace, and that you can surmount the obstacles and the fears that are growing every day. We know that. The world is becoming more and more negative and freaked out with all of the things that are going on. So people who can stay centered and in a state of peace in the midst of all of this are becoming a great resource. And we need resources like that. So if you can volunteer for that, you will find yourself very useful to the world. And if you can be someone who can help other people find their center and release themselves from the curses that have been put on them and that have remained in place, keeping them from being fully alive, then you're doing a great deed. Okay? And this is basically what yoga has always been about. Yoga means union. It's union of your conscious mind with the real self that is unlimited, undefiled, pure, pure, loving, luminous awareness. That's our nature. But you have to discover this for yourself. Again, it's not some magic formula. It's you being willing to sit long enough and control your own mind, which in India they say it's like a monkey. Okay, tie it down, hold it down long enough to go beyond the monkey level of existence to discover the divine. That's why one of the gods in India, they're very confused in India, but they have this worship of a god, Hanuman, who's a monkey god, right? But then when you ask them, why do you worship a monkey? Well, they'll tell you, the real sages who know about this will say, well, actually, it's a metaphor. It's because we're monkeys on the outside, but we're gods on the inside. And our job, however, is to stop being monkeys so we can find the God on the inside. So every time you're meditating, you're putting the monkey down and finding the God within. And when you can bring the God on the outside, then your life will become powerful, virtuous, and serviceable to the world. And you'll find yourself in a state of happiness rather than in a state of fear, anxiety, misery of some kind, depression. There's so many epidemics of emotional illness today, and it's largely because people haven't found their real self. And so they're fluctuating from one fragment of consciousness, one sub-personality to another, but they have no center. So we have to find that center, and that center is divine. And we use the word divine in a scientific way. It's not an imaginary religious term. It refers to the fact that your real self is not conditioned by thoughts, including the thoughts that Immanuel Kant discovered were fundamental to the sense of the ego, and that is space and time. There's no such thing as time. There's movement. But time, in terms of how we think of it, this is a human artifact. You won't find clocks in nature, okay? Archaeologists don't find, clocks growing out of the soil of the earth, unless some human beings created them. And our sense of time now has become more and more neurotic. It's going faster and faster, and we're always trying to keep up. But there is a part of us that is not moving, never moves, because it's a state of awareness that contains our thoughts. It is not itself a thought. So that's the trick, is to realize the difference between thought and awareness. Thought or sensations are objects that occur within consciousness. But consciousness in its pure state is simply formless presence. But what is presence? This is where things get hard to hold. Presence, it cannot be objectified. If you objectify it, you're stuck with another ego. You don't want to do that. So you have to realize that what you are as presence cannot be known in the usual way that you know things. You can never know presence scientifically and put it under a microscope. Ah, they say presence has this particular chemical composition. No, you can never do that because the one who's looking through the microscope is the presence. As soon as you put it under the microscope, it's not presence any longer. It's something else. It might be neurons in the brain, and that's why neurophysicists love that, or neuropsychologists. Ah, okay, all I have to do is change these neurons by putting some Prozac in the bloodstream. Voila, you've got peace of mind. You don't need to meditate. What are you talking about? But changing those neurons is not the same as changing your awareness. And that's what they also discover. In the long run, the Prozac will bite you in the ass. It's not going to work. You're going to need larger and larger doses. And over a long period, it will actually cause brain damage. There's no free lunch. So if you want to change your consciousness and really become serene and peaceful, you have to use your willpower. You have to desire that. You have to be willing to let go of the things that cause your anxiety and discover your real self. And there's no shortcut and there's no way around that. So although people try every way around it, sooner or later they come back to the fact that they have to truthfully find out who we are. And if it's true that we are pure awareness, not the particular thoughts that appear in our mind that we're usually so proud of, but the creative force behind those thoughts, then we have a chance of discovering that peacefulness, that center that radiates love, that will enable us to create an entirely new kind of thought that emerges from this center that we may have never even encountered in this lifetime, that will amaze us and surprise us with the spontaneous wisdom and power that emerges from it, and that has the capacity to change our lives. I'll bet your songs came from that place. You were probably meditating. All the great scientists have said they got their ideas in meditation or in dreams when they were asleep. The ideas came to them. The great composers, Beethoven, Mozart, Bach, Brahms, they all said their ideas came from that. The great artists, sculptors, all the great beings of the world have said it. We could get a list a mile long of people who have admitted when they were writing their great novel, they were taking dictation. It came from a force and a presence beyond their ego. This is the reality. Claude Lévi-Strauss said that. He was one of the great anthropologists of the modern period. And he said, I didn't do any of this. I was meditating and the thoughts came to me. And he's one of the great thinkers who is one of the fathers of structuralism, which moved human thought to a new level. So it's very important to recognize that we have within us a level of intelligence that we're not aware of, a kind of intelligence that's so powerful that it can solve not only our own individual life problems, but it can solve problems that far transcend the individual level. But we have to sacrifice and surrender the little egocentric consciousness that just wants to have a good time at a level that will cause its own suffering. And the ego enjoys its own suffering. It enjoys it a lot because that justifies its continuing existence. Okay? And so there's a sadomasochistic quality to every ego and a homeostatic quality. So it wants to maintain itself just as it is. It hates change. Even if it says, oh yes, I would love to be different, and there's an unconscious part that says, not really, I want to stay just as I am. And that's part of the reason why it's so difficult, even in therapy, when people are committed to it, to make these changes, because the ego will sabotage the change. Even after it admits it and it has an aha experience, then the next day it goes back to the old pattern because it doesn't want to let go, because it has a fear of the unknown. And we have to be excited and enthralled by the unknown and the unknowable self that we are. Because that's where the potentiality for all of the great blessings of life come. And so this community is here to support your realization of that level of your being, which is the source. And once you are in touch with the source within the individual self, what you think of as an individual self, you discover you're not really an individual self. The only reason you believe that is you've identified with the body. But this self is non-bodily. Presence has no shape and form and name. And therefore, what it is, once you recognize it as something beyond space and time, something that is also nothing, you're no longer identified with the body. You realize this body is a vehicle. It's not who I am. And then when you have made that realization, then the fear of death falls away. And then there's an entirely new horizon of realization that everyone Every different body is a vehicle of the same consciousness that I am. And I see the I am in everyone, the same I am, not another, not a different one. And then there's no conflicts. There's no, oh, you people are like this. There's none of that anymore. There's no projection of the shadow onto others. But there can be true empathy, compassion, unity, and a sense of oneness of all beings on the planet, including all beings in nature. The alienation from nature dissolves in this state of consciousness. And one could no longer rip off nature in order to make a quick buck. And one will feel the sacredness of this natural world of which we are a part, and one will have an entirely different attitude toward the environment and a seriousness about solving the problems that we have on the earth today. And a realization of all of this as necessary to our awakening, because we didn't awaken voluntarily. Well, we got to do it the hard way with the turning of the screws on the very possibility that we are leading to our own extinction through our misbehavior. And we have to awaken soon because the margin is growing very, very small. So all of this means we have to take this seriously. But we should take it not with a sense of fear and not with a sense of loss or of terror, but of realizing this is an opportunity to grow, to become fully what we potentially have always been, but have not activated that in our lives. And that potential is something that is so rich and offers so much joy, so much love, so much essence, that it more than makes up for any of the suffering that you have gone through or will have to go through by the very act of the purification of consciousness to reach that state. Because it will. In order to go through the false self to find the real self, we have to experience what has been repressed. We have to throw out the garbage, and to do that we have to see the garbage that's there. We can no longer put it under the rug and think, oh, there's nothing here. We've got to lift the rug up and then take it out. That's our dharmic responsibility. If we don't do that, then the purification is hypocritical. It's not complete. It's not real. We can talk the game, but we're not walking the talk. So we have to have the courage to face what is within us at deep levels of our unconscious and to truly purify it. And that's why there's very few people in this room, because it's not an easy thing to do. And it always has been honored, those who had the ability and the courage to do this self-purification have been worshipped as saints in other traditions and as sages. But it is our capacity to do it. There's nothing that can stop us. And with each removal of the weight of dead or undigested experience or negative psychic energy, we are lighter and we become freer. We become more whole. And so the gain is infinite. And the more that we do, the better and better we feel. The healthier we become as well, because the physical bodies are not only filled with the contaminants of the physical plane, but they're filled with psychic toxic waste, and that creates psychosomatic illnesses that people are suffering from in massive amounts.